Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
In studio or in the booth with us, I should say. George, does it feel good to be back home?
I tell you, I miss my buddies at 97.1 The Fan in Columbus, Ohio. But you'll do.
You'll do. Wow. See, you're already starting to start a blood feud here. I never even heard of this 97.1 The Fan, but I hate them already.
They're pretty good.
They're
pros, unlike yourself.
Wow.
They talk a lot of Ohio State football, and I told you this last time I was here.
Well, one time
I'm driving down the road, and they spent an entire segment talking about the right tackle at Penn State during drive time, and I'm like, are you kidding me?
Well, I'll tell you, I was talking a lot of Ohio State about 3 weeks ago when their head coach was when their head coach was accused of enabling domestic violence.
Oh, yeah.
I took a little break from regularly scheduled program to discuss that. But you know, George, I took the liberty of saying something at the end of last segment. I'm sure you co-sign on this, but I just wanted to clear it with you before I say it again.
Yeah.
Now, the Miami Hurricanes were just in the state of Ohio.
Yes, they were. In the Glass City, Toledo. I saw the Mud Hens this year.
They completely shattered the glass bowl in Toledo. And
built the same year as the Orange Bowl, by the way.
Seriously?
Yes,
really?
The Orange Bowl and the Glass Bowl.
Anyway. I think they tore down the wrong building there. No, but one of Miami's receivers, Lawrence Cager, said after the game,
I can't wait
to get back home from Ohio. Ohio is boring. I can't wait to leave Ohio. So I mentioned that clearly a year in Ohio, George Richards came to that same realization. Is that true?
Well, first off, the Hurricanes were in Toledo, which is basically Michigan.
Mm.
I would agree. I spent a week one night in Toledo. Let me tell you something. I love being home. I came home. This was an opportunity with the Athletic to come home and cover the Panthers again like I had for a long time. It really was. I mean, I know you're Mr. Anti-Ohio,
but it
really was. It was a great year there. The people were terrific. It's a great – Columbus, Ohio, even you would love Columbus,
really?
Ohio.
I've never been to
awesome.
Columbus. I've been
downtown
to Cleveland.
Columbus is all – well, yeah, I mean, Columbus is a growing town.
Okay.
I mean, a lot of growth there. It's the capital city, as they say. Welcome to capital city. Ohio State's right there. I mean, Columbus is really cool. It really is, and they love their sports teams. And, you know, they go to – if anything that there is there, they go to, and they're very supportive of the local teams. And it was a good year, but this was a chance to come home. I was really looking forward to a full year in Ohio because I kind of got there last year 3-4 games into the season.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
So I was looking forward to training camp and everything, but, you know, this opportunity with the Athletic popped up, and I was able to reunite myself with Andre Fernandez, Manny Navarro, join forces with Big O and Chris Perkins. And
now, did they tell you before?
Here we are.
Did they tell you before you took the job you'll have to work with Big O, or did they save that until you already moved in?
It almost didn't happen. They were like, oh, and by the way, actually it was Big O that sent me a text.
Oh, nice.
I get a text from Big O, congratulations on the new gig, and I'm like, no offense, but how? You know, I haven't told anybody. How did you know about this? Who's talking at Dolphins camp? And he goes, brother, I'm your new teammate. I'm with them, too. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, that works, too.
There you go, man. Well, and this doesn't seem like a bad time to resume covering Florida Panthers hockey. The team this year, George, this is, you know, considering how they finished last year, considering the collection of young talent, it's got to be playoffs or bust for this team, right?
Yeah, I think, you know, we keep talking about this young core with the Florida Panthers. These are mature guys now.
Yeah.
And earlier today, Sasha Barkov becomes the captain of this team. He's 23 years old. But, my gosh, this is, you know, he's been playing in the NHL for 5 years. I mean, he has seen just about everything except for playoff success that you can. Vincent Trocheck, Aaron Ekblad, all these guys, they are still technically young guys, but they're mature. And they're about to take that next step. And I think right now the key is what surrounds the young stars. How well has Dale Talon and company surrounded, you know, their big guns? And time will tell, because right now you've got two terrific lines, and then we'll have to see what happens. They've got, you know, defense pairings that are great and some that are, all right, let's see what happens. So It's going to be interesting, but I do think that this team is definitely on the rise. You look at the way they played in the second half of last season. They end up a point shy. I mean, they dug themselves into a hole they couldn't get out of eventually. I really like the makeup of this team and where they're going.
I love the move of Sasha Barkov being named captain. You know, first of all, he really represents the youth movement of this Panthers team. I believe he's the best player on this Panthers team. I have no issues with the best player being the team captain. But is it difficult? You think it was awkward to take the C away from Derek McKenzie to give it to Barkov?
Yeah, I don't think that was a conversation that the Panthers wanted to have, because Derek McKenzie is the ultimate team player. But even he said, I mean, 2 years ago when Turk and them, they gave it to him, you know, at West Point, he was like, guys, I'm looking at this team right here. It could have gone to Ekblad. It could have gone to Barkov. It could have gone to Troach. It could have gone to Jonathan Huberdeau or Keith Yandle. And he goes, here I am, the fourth line guy, the captain of a team. And he said today, he goes, I told them, whenever you want to take this from me and give it to one of these kids, knock yourself out. He goes, I don't care if I got to wear it for 2 weeks or 2 years. He got to wear it for 2 years, that C. He said it was a highlight of his career to be able to say he was the captain of the Florida Panthers, captain of an NHL team. You know, you talk about a class guy, Derek McKenzie's right there.
I think it's a really good symbolic move. I mean, a good practical move, but very good symbolic move to put the C on Barkov, because it really does show the coming of age of this young core. Because I think about who the last two captains have been of this Panthers team, a very long in the tooth Willie Mitchell, very long in the tooth then Derek McKenzie for the last couple of years. And that really showed me that the young core, many of these guys who were 19, 20 years old at that time, now Barkov being 23, I think it finally shows that the Panthers are ready to hand that captaincy, which is more important in hockey, I should mention, than in a lot of other sports. I mean, being the captain of an NBA team, relatively speaking, not as big of a deal, although Udonis Haslam has worn that proudly. NFL team, even less of a big deal. But to be the captain of an NHL team, that's a huge responsibility and just kind of a huge symbol to have on that jersey.
Yeah, it definitely is. And I think that you look at Barkov's career, the career that he's had here, the Panthers were quick to lock him up to a long-term deal. The only issues anyone's ever had with Barkov is he had some injuries early in his career, and he'll miss a handful of games. But that's only because he plays so hard. He plays both ends of the ice. He plays 25. I mean, he plays defenseman minutes as your top-line center.
Right.
The guy's going to get some wear and tear on him. But other than that, nobody's ever questioned his work ethic. Nobody's ever questioned what he is in that locker room. Maybe he is a little quiet, but in that room he's not. I mean, he is.
That's one thing that I was wondering about. If you see, like, from your experience, obviously, no question, leader by example, when you do all the things that he does on the ice, but does he seem to have that captain's personality, or can he kind of build that and grow into that job?
Shameless plug, and I wrote today in The Athletic. I talked to Sean Thornton about this on Thursday. I asked him about what he thought about Barkey as the potential captain of this team, and he said, listen, when he first got here, Barkey was sitting in the corner by himself, didn't speak great English. Thornton said, hey, come sit over here. Come sit with us. We want to get you out of your shell. And he goes, I could not imagine sitting next to someone other than Barkey, because he was just such a great guy. Everything he says, there's meaning behind it. He is one of the funniest guys. Everything he says is funny, unless he's talking about hockey. And then he's one of the guys, you know, inside baseball kind of stuff. When you really need to know what's going on in a game or what's going on with a team, you don't want to hear the yes guys. Oh, yeah, we need to work harder. You go talk to a guy like Barkov, who's going to tell you how things are going, what's really going on. The guy knows the game. He is going to be, I think, and he's not going to be afraid to tell a guy to shape up and get in line and do the things they need to do. So, yeah, I think Alexander Barkov, we call him Sasha. Now you can call him captain. Great move by the Panthers today.
We're talking with George Richards back in South Florida, now with The Athletic, which is that publication, the local side of it especially, is growing so quickly, man. So many great people now with The Athletic. But, you know, George, for the Panthers' success this season, how much of that, in your opinion, rides on a healthy, dominant in net Roberto Luongo?
Absolutely. I think goaltending is a key to what the Panthers do. We know they've got some high-end offensive talent. They're pretty good defensively. They'll be better to start this year defensively than they were last year. I think they'll pick up where they left off. They were also third against in shots on goal, so that doesn't really help your goalies. But, again, Roberto Luongo, you know, he's 39 years old. He's still your number one option in net. James Reimer's going to have to be ready to play a lot of games. I think and Louis's probably going to miss some time. I mean, I think that's just the nature of the beast right now. He didn't get this injury when he was 28 years old. You know, he's 39 now. He's played a lot of games. He's got a lot of mileage on him. I think, you know, he's going to be watching what he does for the rest of his career, but he's still got it. Louis still has it. He's still a top-end goalie. I think you saw it last year when this team made a run toward the playoffs. Who was in net? Who was making the saves? It was Lou. He's a guy they still count on, and as long as he can stay healthy, I think that's going to be a big, big, big part of their success.
You know, you touched on a little bit, very slow start for the Panthers last year, an incredible finish that had them just a point shy of a playoff spot. Is a slow start something that would seriously concern you again, or do you think, like I do, but I thought that last year's slow start probably had a lot to do with Bob Bugner implementing his system. I can always be proven wrong, believe me, but I feel like you can probably write that off to those adjustments under a new coach last year.
Absolutely. I mean, they had different systems defensively. They were shuffling guys around offensively. I think you saw, you know, a different top line, you know, by December than you had at the beginning of the year. You didn't see the emergence of guys like Nick Bjugstad until December, January. I think a whole lot of things went into that last year, but a big part of it was exactly that. This was just another defensive system these guys had to learn. Don't forget when Tom Rowe replaced Gerard Gallant.
Midseason.
22 games into the year, they changed their defensive systems.
Wow.
I've never heard of a team doing that. So then you finish that year, and then you bring in a new coach who changes them again. So there was a lot of, like Bob Bugner said the other day, his first practice this, you know, last year, there was a lot of stops, a lot of whistles, a lot of teachable moments. This year, they just rolled right into it. They know what they're doing. They showed video. Any questions? Nope. Let's go. That was a big difference last year. There were a lot of questions. A lot of these guys had to figure it out, and I don't think you're going to have that this year. Like Aaron Ekblad said, no excuse. I mean, they have no excuse for a slow start this year. If they get off to a slow start, it's on them. You're not going to be able to have that built-in excuse about the systems.
Florida Panthers, Nashville Predators on these airwaves, WQAM. We're about 7 minutes away from dropping the puck.
7 minutes to post.
With Doug Blagans and Bill Lindsay on the call. George, we're getting a lot of texts about this from a Florida State fan. I'm sure you've seen the Florida State turnover backpack or the turnover purse.
That is the worst thing ever.
So even this Florida State fan says, hey, I'm a Florida State fan. They need to napalm that stupid bag.
I just take it back to Marshall's where they found it, you know. Ross Dress for Less, whatever. Who came up with that? I still don't get it. It's in the bag.
Yeah.
We've got the bag. We're the dumbest thing I've ever seen. And then, you know, you barely beat Samford, which, you know.
Is that the time to bring it out when you have to come from
behind? Well, why not?
I mean,
if you're beating Samford 77-0 like Miami did Savannah State, break the thing out, maybe whatever. But when you're struggling against a team like Samford and it's that dumb to start with, honestly, every FSU fan, and I can only say this because every FSU fan I know, and I know quite a few, thinks the same thing.
Yeah,
this is universally being panned.
Yeah.
I haven't heard one cool thing about it. Other than Willie Taggart seems to like it.
And if that was his idea, like, forget about the fact that the team's not good. He should be on the hot seat already
If this was his idea, you give him that $21 million buyout.
I think you
do. You know.
Well, George, you know I'm going to be bugging you all season long for Radio Hits, so be ready for that. I don't know about those guys at 97.1
The Fan.
No, listen. Those losers, I hope you don't pick up if they call you.
I am going to pick up, and I'm going to tell them all about you, buddy.
That's right. All right, George Richards, enjoy the game tonight, sir.
Thank you, sir. We'll see you later.
When we come back,
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s?
It's better over here.
Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.